Welcome to Devils Talking Padres. Padres just dropped their first series in quite some time. I mean, Bobby and I were kind of talking about it before the show, but won the series in Miami, won the series on the road trip, and then, you know, lost the series to the Dodgers. So it was the first series loss since the series to the Dodgers, and also the first lost series not against a divisional opponent, which is kind of a theme. You know, the NL West is really good, and quite frankly, the rest of the NL is pretty bad so far to start the year, but you know, the Padres offense kind of woke up. Bobby, how are you doing? And what are your first overall thoughts on this 3-game set against the Cubs?
I'm good, Dom. Good to be back talking Padres baseball, of course. But I mean, my main takeaway from the series is we saw runs from the Padres. I know they got shut out in that first game, but scored 5 runs in the last 2 games. And I know that's nothing huge, but the Padres are scoring runs. And pitching staff did not look amazing this series, but it was a series drop. They have to lose a series every once in a while. I know it was not to a good Chicago Cubs team, which is disappointing, but Padres are still sitting at 20-12 on the season. So still a great look, still up at the top or near the top in the NL West. And I'm just good to see the lineup back and healthy.
Yeah, it's baseball. This stuff happens. And I think the Cubs team is better than the record shows, especially the way they started. They got really cold, and that's why it's kind of frustrating. The Padres, you know, let them heat up per se. But it happens. It's baseball. You kind of just got to brush it off. They're able to scrape away that second win. And then I think they played better in the third game, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I mean, first off, the Tony Gwynn celebration for him on Monday, 40,000 people there on a Monday against a non-divisional opponent, or basically not against the Dodgers or Giants. It was one of the best crowds I had seen at Petco. Normally the Cubs, you know, are very well represented. I said on last podcast, I think they're typically the third best represented opposing team at Petco Park every year. And on Monday they were nowhere to be seen because it was all Padre fans, which was awesome. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I mean, I was at all 3 games. The crowd was definitely a lot better from the Cubs fans because they're able to get the seats. Padre fans really showed out, and there were a lot less "Let's go Cubbies" chants, which I love. Unfortunately, the W flags did come out, but that does happen. And that typically happens when the Padres end up losing to the Cubs. But it was awesome to see that scene on Monday. And I know you were able to catch part of the game. What were your thoughts on the Tony Gwynn celebration from the Padres?
Yeah, it must have been a fun game to go to. I will really only go to one series, I think, this year in San Diego, just due to summer schedule. And then, of course, school starting back up after. But, I mean, of course, it was a shutout. Offense not good whatsoever. Only got 3 hits, but Kyle Hendricks looked amazing. Struck out 7 8 2/3, and almost went complete game. But he's at 116 pitches through 80 strikes, which we all know he throws strikes, doesn't walk a lot of guys. He only walked 1 guy, but the Padres lineup was just awful this game. Mackenzie Gore wasn't awful. Well, actually, I don't want to say he wasn't bad, but he did get hit pretty hard. 7 hits in 5 innings, 6 Ks, so it's definitely good. Allowed 3 runs, so not a bad start from him, but he just got hit pretty hard and was able to get out of a lot of things. But Nelson Lamet did not look great, and then Ray Kerr, he came in after Lamet looked solid, but Lamet's just really been struggling. His ERA is close to 10 now, so just first game, I mean, it was just awful from the lineup. Kyle Hendricks looked amazing, but lineup, that was a really hard game to watch.
Yeah, the first game sucked. I mean, I just went and said how awesome the crowd was, but the game sucked. I mean, the Padres didn't get a single runner in scoring position, which is really, really hard to do. Almost more impressive than what the Cubs did. But Kyle Hendricks, I mean, we kind of highlighted it, is not having a good year, possibly his worst year of his career. And, I mean, he had been walking guys this year, and that's what was frustrating, was that he kind of returned to his normal form against the Padres. It's like, really, Kyle had to do that. And I mean, that's partly to the fact that the Padres offense was really just overmatched. He was blowing 88 mile an hour fastballs by guys. And our editor at EBT, James Clark, was talking about, you know, this is real pitching. And I agree with him. That's what real pitching is about. But it's incredibly frustrating that the Padres were so off balance that an 88 mile an hour fastball was impossible for them to hit. But it happens. Hitting's hard. So, like, you know, you just kind of, once again, brush it off and hope the Padres offense can rebound, which they did. And they got additions from Luke Voit and Will Myers. What do those two guys bring to the lineup?
Power.
Yeah, I mean, it simply as easy as that. This Padres team just doesn't hit home runs. It's funny, listening to the pre- and the post-game show, 97.3 The Fan with Sammy Levitt, he does an awesome job. He is the home run counter that he talks about. he just kept saying, he's like, oh, you know, we're still at 27 home runs. We're still at 27 home runs. And then today the Padres hit three, or on Wednesday, the Padres hit three, and two of them were off the bat of Luke Voit. And we know the power that Will Myers has. I mean, power and speed, those are his two best attributes. He's almost a five-tool player. I mean, the contact in his game is kind of diminished a little bit, but he hit a ball to the warning track on Wednesday. It's a whole nother discussion. But yeah, I think it also provides depth for the lineup. I think that's the most important part, because Hassel and Kim can now bat eighth, which is, I mean, he's been better this year, had a really bad homestand, like awful homestand, but he needs to be batting the bottom half of the lineup. Like, he was batting second at the beginning of the homestand, and that speaks volumes. That's not where Hassel and Kim should be batting. And neither should Jerickson Profar. When Tatis comes back, the lineup will be at full strength. But I think I 100% agree with you. It provides a ton of power. Luke Voit put that on display. But it also provides a ton of depth, because the guys who were batting in the middle of the order are now batting in the bottom of the order. And all of a sudden, in terms of runs, the Padres offense has been average to start the year. And I think that can turn it into a good lineup. And a good lineup with a great pitching staff is a playoff team. And that's what we expect the Padres to be.
Yeah, and with Luke Voit back and, of course, Will Myers, it just, like you said, gives us more depth. But the Padres got Luke Voit for the sake of power and getting on bases and drawing walks, because he's not at all a great contact hitter. He's hitting below 150 on the season, or around 150 after that two-home-run game. Pardon me, hitting 184 after that two-home-run game with three hits, though. But this last two games of the series, the Padres lineup looked amazing. 11 hits in game two and then 12 hits in game three, and they had multiple guys with just multiple hits. Cronenworth in game two, three hits. Profar, two. Hosmer, two. Aaron Nola, two. Game three, Profar with two hits. Machado with two hits. Hosmer and Voit both with three. And that's the kind of consistency that I want to see from, not consistency yet, but I want to see this kind of consistency from Luke Voit. Obviously, it won't be three hits, two home runs every single game. But if we get some kind of just consistency, hitting above 200 and actually getting on base and providing the power that the Padres got him for, that will be huge for this lineup for the next month before Fernando comes back.
Luke Voit's going to hit the ball hard. I mean, he hit the ball really hard on Wednesday, and that was a great sign. And he walked twice on Tuesday. I mean, he didn't get any hits in that game, but he walked twice, and walks as good of a hit. But I mean, with a weaker lineup like the Padres have had, that kind of walk doesn't help. But now that the lineup has some power in it, all of a sudden the lineup's deeper and those walks mean a little bit more. So that's kind of my thinking there. You kind of mentioned it, Denelson Lamet. I don't know what his future holds with this team, because he's not a starting pitcher anymore because his elbow is about to collapse. But he's not a good relief pitcher. He was worse as a relief pitcher last year than he was as a starter. And he's been way worse this year. He looks very uncomfortable on the mound. His fastball has been better of late in terms of velocity, which I think is the most important part, because his command has never exactly been something that's been good. But his slider, which was the pitch that really complemented that fastball, and the slider was so gross in 2020, it's a bad pitch now. And he's not throwing it for strikes. He's not throwing it effectively either when he is throwing it for strikes. It's almost like the Padres just need to send him somewhere else. Because if you DFA him, someone's going to probably take him and take a shot on him. But at the same time, the Padres can't really get much to trade for him. So what do you think of Denelson Lamet?
And with Denelson Lamet, like, the Padres won't send him down. And they could just have him work on his mechanics, his slider, which when he was healthy, was one of the best sliders in the league. That's why he was one of the best pitchers in baseball in 2020. Of course, we talked about this in the last episode, his Cy Young caliber season. And then the injuries came and he just totally fell off. But he really hurting this team when he comes out of the bullpen. He's, like you said, obviously not going to be starting. And every single time he comes out for this team, he's detrimental on the mound. And he's really not helping. And I feel bad for him because he was one of my favorite Padres. He's the biggest what-ifs I've seen in my entire life as a Padres fan. And when healthy, we saw him as a Cy Young caliber pitcher. And the injuries came and he just has not looked like himself at all, of course. And I don't know if he will get back to that.
Yeah, it's really hard because, I mean, Padre fans, we saw him perform in 2020. We saw him pitch well in 2017 as well, and then followed his rehab and whatnot in 2018, and then in the first half of 2019 to him pitching in 2019. And you saw it a couple times and you're like, oh boy, big body guy coming off his first Tommy John. Like, he just needs to settle in, and that's exactly what he did in 2020. He was phenomenal, but I don't know what the Padres are going to do with him, and especially when Michelle Baez, Andrew Amarejon, Jose Castillo come back, Tim Hill comes back, Pierce Johnson comes back, Drew Pomeranz comes back. I don't think the Padres can justify keeping him. I really don't, and it really sucks. It does, because we know what he can be. But he's probably not going to ever get back there. And
if they get rid of him, they could DFA him. Like, he really, as of now, has no trade value, unless if it's for the lowest possible pick.
Or cash.
Or
an 18-year-old that, like, was taken in, like, the 10th round that the Padres may have liked. That's about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Padres traded James Shields and got Fernando Tatis Jr. So, I mean... really bad.
Was one of the best, most consistent pitchers in baseball, though. And Dylan Nelson Lamet has just been nothing.
Yeah, no, it's really tough because we all, I mean, you mentioned it. He's one of your favorite Padres. I said last year he was the Padres' best pitcher when fully healthy. And I fully believe that. But unfortunately, he hasn't been. So, and he probably never will be, which really, really sucks. I mean, he could undergo another Tommy John surgery, but at that point, you're looking at another year and a half. And then it's the second one. As we know, those guys don't come back as strong, but we're seeing Mike Clevinger pitch in that spot right now. So you never know. You never know. You can't rule it out, but he looks lost right now, and it's really tough to watch. Moving on, I mean, we talked about Voit. We talked about Myers, and there have been some really good hitters in this Padres lineup. We've also seen some really bad hitters in this Padres lineup, and it was really good to see Jake Cronenworth have a good second game. And he's been getting on base. His on base streak right now is ridiculous. And I think it extended on Wednesday with the catcher's interference, or I'm not sure. Anyways, his on base streak is really good. He's getting on base every once in a while, but he really had a good hitting game on Tuesday. And I think Jake Cronenworth, you know, getting back to the form where he was in 2020 and 21, at least momentarily, is also something that's going to add some depth to this lineup. What do you think about Jake Cronenworth?
And with Cronenworth, the thing I love to see from him in that second game where he had three hits, two of those were doubles, and he was finding gaps, pulling the ball great, and he was doing what he did a lot last year. He was a great extra base hit guy for the Padres, 2020 especially, but he's one guy on this team who, other than Manny Machado, should be leading this team in doubles and should be up there right behind Manny. But, of course, early this season, he really has been struggling, and I really hope after this game, I mean, of course, he went 0 for 4 in game 3, on Wednesday. He's one guy at the top of this lineup, number one or two hitter. Of course, with Fernando back, that could change, but he's been a top three hitter in the lineup consistently. And I just want to see him be consistent with three hits and then 0 for 4. He did get an RBI, but struck out twice. But if we can get some consistency from Cronenworth, of course, I always talk about consistency, but Cronenworth is one guy who I really want to pick up for just to pick up where he has been. I mean, Profar, of course, has totally fallen off since the first week. Will Myers, of course, he's been hurt. Luke Voit has been hurt. But Kim, Grisham, and then the catcher spots, whoever's been there, Alfaro or Nola, have all really been struggling. And there's just a few hitters in this lineup that have, of course, been consistent for this Padres team, and that's just Manny and Hosmer. But the rest of this lineup has been pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, you talk about consistency. Some guys have been consistently bad, and we need them to be consistently good and or just good sometimes and then mediocre other times, because that's kind of what Trent Grisham had been, and now he's been consistently bad. And the Padres need Trent Grisham to be good. It doesn't have to be really good. He doesn't have to be an all-star. He needs to be a good player. And I think his defense has been perfectly fine this year. You know, balls hit to the wall on a line. I'm never going to fault the outfielder. I think that's foolish. I mean, you should fault the pitcher for giving the opponent a hittable pitch so they can hit the ball hard to the wall. That's my thought process. I mean, I feel like that's fairly simple, but some people just don't follow that. But his bat, it needs to be a lot better. And I think he's being a little bit too patient at the plate. He needs to attack fastballs more. And I think he'll get back. Profar, he's blocking a ton. I think he'll be fine. And I mean, if those two guys can pick it up, we know Cronenworth's good. He's an all-star for a reason. The Padres should be fine. And I think that kind of leads us into Devlin Wildcat. And our Wildcat of the week for me, I'm going to start. It's Trent Grisham. I mean, he's been really bad. Just not getting many hits. He did get a triple against Miami, but striking out a heck of a lot more. than he is getting on base. And even then, that's a problem. But if he's striking out, he has good speed, so we can try and use that to his advantage. But he's not going the other way a lot. One thing he's doing really well, he's in the 80th percentile in walks. He's in the 91st percentile in chase rate. So he's being really patient, but he's 25th percentile in strikeout percentage. So I mean, he's being a little too patient. You know, he's taking a lot of pitches. Attack the fastball. You're a good hitter. I mean, we've seen it. So 7th percentile in exit in expected batting average, 7th percentile in average exit velo, 13th percentile in hard hit percentage. That stuff needs to get a lot better. That's just on the season. In this past week, I believe he only got 2 hits. Grisham's been bad. The Padres seem to be a lot better.
And for Grisham, what I want to see from him is really just the main thing, the swagger he played with in 2020, where he was one of the most fun players in this lineup, I think, on both at the plate and the field, where he just showed off his glove. He was great at the plate. He was a great – I know he's not going to hit 20 home runs, or of course not 30 home runs, but I'd love to see him be close to a 2020 player. I think he does have the tools. Like you said, he just needs to be attacking the fastball. And 20 home runs, that's not a tough feat to do. I think he could easily – not easily, but he could totally be a 2020 player, and I would not be surprised with his speed and the the power that he does possess, that he's just not using, like you said, he's not driving the fastball. But if he can somehow get back to that 2020 player that he was, he could be a great, I mean, I want to see him as the leadoff hitter for this team, but he just, of course, is not hitting. So yeah, Trent Grisham was a great pick for Wildcard of the Week. My devil of the week, no surprise, will be Manny Machado, who is among the league leaders in hits, up there in home runs. I think he has 7 on the year. RBIs, on base percentage, OPS, and he's just been amazing for the Padres this year. In the last 7 games, the 4 games against Miami, the 3 games against the Cubs, like you said, with Cronenworth's on base streak, Manny Machado's been even better. He's been getting on base at an amazing pace. Last 7 games, he's on a 7 game hit streak. 4 of those games, multiple hits. He's had 2 in all 4 of those, but 2 home runs in that first game against Miami, 2 hits in this last game against the Cubs. And he's just been amazing for the Padres. He's been driving the ball. He's hitting off speed. And he's really just been the leader for this team.
Yeah, Machado's been the best player for the San Diego Padres. He's been the best player in the NL West. He's been the best player in the National League. And I think the only player who's been better than him in Major League Baseball is Mike Trout. And Mike Trout is one of the greatest players to ever grace this planet. So he's done everything for the Padres. He's also been absurdly elite defensively. And that's going to continue because he's Manny Machado. He's been worth every penny the Padres have paid him. And we got to hope that this level of success can be sustained. Now, I will say, Machado, he tends to have a bad game and it'll spiral for a couple of days sometimes. He did strike out twice to end the game on Wednesday. I really hope that doesn't spiral. Fortunately, day off on Thursday, he can reset and then hopefully kick some butt on the road on the East Coast, starting in Atlanta, which is going to lead us to our upcoming series against the Atlanta Braves. Should be another great series. These two teams split to begin the homestand and opening day in San Diego. And now the Padres get to go on the road and play in front of a packed house, really for the first time this year. I mean, San Francisco crowds have been pretty disappointing, we'll say. And then the Arizona crowds, I mean, they were really bad. The Cleveland, the Pittsburgh, and the Cincinnati crowds were awful. So this is going to be a big crowd. And hopefully the stage isn't too tall for the San Diego Padres on the road against the world champs. I mean, I think this is another great test for the San Diego Padres.
And we saw them play the Braves earlier this year, and the team was injured. They were not looking their best, and they're still 2 games under 500. But, of course, they're the defending champs. They're a lot better than the record, like you said, the Cubs were. But the defending champs going on the road to Atlanta is always going to be tough. And we saw what the Padres did the last 2 games of the Cubs series, getting double-digit hits. Even if they weren't scoring runs – or sorry, they scored 5 runs in 2 of those games. So I take that back. But they're getting guys on base. They were getting them in the last 2 games. But if they can keep this going in the series against the Braves and just really be consistent and stay, I don't say stay hot, because they did lose one of those games and, of course, the series. But keep getting guys on base, and that will be huge. The pitchers that they're playing in the series are obviously a lot better than the Cubs pitchers with Fried, Morton, and Wright. We've all been looking solid this year. Max Fried has been phenomenal. We'll get to that in a sec. But this will be a good series with each team's top pitchers pitching.
Yeah, the good pitching has also hurt the Padres. I mean, so let's just get right into that. They're going to be going up against Max Fried, former Padre, left-hander, has been really, really good ever since the 2020 season. And then they're going to be facing Charlie Morton, who they hit really, really well on opening day in game number two. And then game number three is going to be against Kyle Wright, who has been phenomenal to start this year. He really struggled in his last outing, but he's such a good pitcher. He's probably going to be able to rebound off of that. And I mean, good pitching, the Padres have definitely struggled against. I mean, we saw him against Kyle Hendricks this past time around, the Marlins series. They have really good pitching staff. The Dodgers pitching staff really stifled the Padres bats, but hopefully this full strength lineup can show their might against a much better pitching staff. Cause Wade Miley making his first start of the year, and then a bullpen game, which the Cubs have a good bullpen, but the Padres were able to, you know, show what they can do this year. And hopefully they can do that against better pitching.
And with Max Fried starting this first game against Yu Darvish, he's been amazing this year. Sub-3 ERA, sub-1 whip. And his last four starts, he's been looking amazing. 7 innings, 1 run in his last start. 6 innings, 2 runs. 6 innings, 1 run. And 7 innings shutout against the Dodgers just a little bit less than a month ago. But he'll be pitching game one. And if the Padres can get to him early in this game and get to the bullpen, that'll be huge. Charlie Morton, like who you said, Padres hit hard. 9 hits, 5 runs, and 5 innings back in the... also about a month ago. 12-1 win for the Padres, and they hit him really hard. And then Kyle Wright, who pitched against the Padres in a 5-2 win in that series against them. 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. So Padres did fine against him. Didn't do enough because the bullpen totally just shut them out in that game. But solid pitchers pitching for the Braves this series. Kyle Wright with a 3.03 ERA, and then Charlie Morton with a balloon to 5.65. But he's not been that great this year compared to the others, of course, or just not good in general. But Kyle Wright's been great this year, and Max Fried, that'll be a great first matchup against Darvish.
Yeah, elite pitching matchups here, because Darvish going game one, you got Manaea going game two, and then game three, Joe Musgrove. I mean, these are the three guys the Padres want out there.
And with Yu Darvish, he's coming off a great start. 7 innings, 2 runs in that win against the Marlins. Sho Manaea, who's been really consistent for the Padres this year. His last outing, I mean, Padres lost 8-0, but of course, half that was from the Grand Slam late in the game.
It was quality start, six innings, 3 runs.
6 innings, 7 runs, 8 strikeouts, and 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, and 8 strikeouts. His stuff was looking good, only walked one guy. And so, like you said, quality start, but Joe Musgrove, the epitome of consistency for the Padres. He's on 7 innings exactly in his last 2 starts. 2 runs against Miami, 1 run against the Pirates. And in all 6 of his starts, of course, we all know how he has 6 quality starts this year. Padres have won every single game that he started. So hope they can keep that going. And that could possibly be a rubber match in the series.
Yeah, Joe Musgrove is the only pitcher in baseball to have a quality start in every single one of the starts, which speaks volumes. I mean, there's a lot of starters out there.
And a 0.9 whip. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's definitely in the short list of Cy Young candidates. Obviously, very early. We're only a month into the season, but means something. He's been one of the league's best. The Atlanta bullpen, they've got some really talented arms out there. Kenley Jansen, he's their closer. I mean, the Padres have seen him a ton of times, 11 innings, 3.27 ERA, 15 strikeouts. You know, it's exactly what Kenley's going to do. His FIP is 0.92, so they expect he's pitched better than what his ERA says. And AJ Minter is the same way, 0.81 FIP, 2.13 ERA, 19 strikeouts in 12 innings. And then McHugh's got another one, lower FIP, 2.04 for to 5.56 in 11 innings. He's got 17 strikeouts. He did just pitch on Wednesday night. I know he threw a scoreless frame because I saw a clip of him striking out a batter on a ball, and then the catcher just tossed his helmet away, got ejected, and then Alex Cora came out and got ejected. So there's that. Will Smith is the other way. We saw Manny Machado hit that absolute missile off him, 2.38 ERA in 11.1 innings, just 8 strikeouts, but a 5.92 FIP. And then a couple other relievers, Spencer Strider, 2.16 ERA, 16 innings pitched, and he's got 24 strikeouts. They call him Quadzilla. He's got these massive quads, and he throws really hard. So that's going to be a reliever the Padres aren't going to want to face. And then Jackson Stevens, a 1.8 ERA in 10 innings with 12 strikeouts. Jesse Chavez, 8 innings, 2.16 ERA, and a 0.46 FIP with 11 strikeouts. So translation, their bullpen is really, really good. And the Padres need to do everything against the good starting pitching they're going to be facing. They're going to want to have a shot at winning the series.
And like you said, with this bullpen, of course, the main guys, Jansen, Minter, and Will Smith, who have all been having great years. Will Smith was amazing for them last year. And then, of course, Jansen came in and took the closer role. But really good bullpen, really good starting rotation, and I just don't want to see the Padres get just shut down. Not necessarily shut out, but just get shut down in essentially two of these three games. I want to see hits. I want to see runs put across the board, and I don't want to see them fall back into what they were the past few series.
Yeah, the offense has got to stay hot for these last two games, and know that the pitching staff is going to pick them up. And the bullpen, I mean, showed a little shakiness. Rodgers, who hadn't allowed a run yet, finally allowed a run and probably should have allowed five. I mean, if we're being completely honest, the wind completely knocked that ball down in the ninth inning for that Frank Schwindel home run. It's funny when he came up in the first at bat, I said, "Frank, hit the weight room." And this Cubs fan who was sitting right next to me goes, "You know that ball should have been a home run." I'm like, "I know, but that doesn't fit my narrative." So that was fun. And then Luis Garcia finally allowed some runs. He had six or seven straight scoreless outings, and he allowed two runs. And ultimately, those runs decided the game as the Padres lost by just two. So hopefully those guys bounce back. Day off. Steven Wilson in a pitch. Suarez in a pitch. The other two guys, Stammen and Chris Matt, they both pitched as well on Wednesday. So hopefully they get some rest. But it's Padres bullpen. I think they have six dependable guys. And then Lamet and Kerr are kind of out there, and they come in and pitch when they need to. I mean, that's kind of what their role is at this point.
Yeah, and the Padres bullpen has been good this year. Of course, we know how good the rotation's been. The bullpen has been good. Taylor Rogers, like you said, just allowed his first earned run of the season. Luis Garcia has been looked amazing the past week or two. Like, he's been looking really good. And with Lamet, Ray Kerr, I mean, I don't want to talk about them too much. We talked about Lamet. Kerr won't be up for too long, but like, pitching against this Braves lineup, who a bunch of these guys have really been struggling this year. Ozzie Albies, Marcell Ozuna, Matt Olson. Matt Olson's been fine. He's hitting 270, but Ozuna and Albies, two of the top guys in this lineup, have really been struggling. Duvall is hitting below 200. Austin Riley, seven home runs, but he's hitting 239. And then, of course, in this series, there will be Ronald Acuna Jr. He's hitting 282 with an 878 OPS in a short 10-game sample. But we all know what Acuna can do when healthy, and he is, of course, an MVP caliber player.
At the lineup, they're a really fun team to watch, and I think they're about to hit their stride. So hopefully the Padres can step over them before they take their stride. You got anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
We'll just get some hits, get some runs, and don't get shut out this series, and should win two out of three.
Don't get shut out. I like the way you think. It's two straight series in which they got shut out after not being shut out before then. So hopefully they can break that spell. And with that, let's wrap up this episode of Devil's Talking Padres. Thank you all for tuning in. And make sure to follow or subscribe to us on your preferred podcast platform. That way you don't miss another episode. We're going to recap every single series. I'm going on vacation, so Bob's going to handle the duties after this upcoming series against both the Phillies and the Braves. But he'll handle the fort down. He knows how to do it. And I have full trust in him to give this perfect Padres analysis. And make sure to follow Bobby and I on Twitter. You can find me at DMStern19. You can find Bobby at BobbyMurphy2000, posting our Padres thoughts, other sports-related thoughts if you're interested in other sports. Speaking of which, this is an East Village Times podcast. East Village Times, we cover all San Diego sports, including the Padres, the Aztecs, the Sockers, and the Seals, and now the new Wave, the new women's soccer team. So find us at EVT_news to see our content at eastvillagetimes.com. Thank you all for tuning in. Bobby will have you covered after the next series against the Atlanta Braves. Go Padres.